You might be wondering, okay, exactly what was that song about? Like, everybody's got a different interpretation. It's like, oh, I think I got it. No, wait, maybe it means this. But the good thing is, you can go right to the authors of these last two songs and say, what were you talking about? Here's what I got out of it. So you don't have to worry about interpreting it, because you can go right to the source and say, what were you saying in this song? And they know that as they write a song, that it probably does mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, because we're all in different spots and different places. But we do understand that it's very important for us to be able to interpret something. That's how we work around here. It's like, how does this work? You know, what's going on here? And as we move through our lives, it's very important for us to be able to interpret what's going on in our own lives for ourselves. When we were in Mexico last month, actually, Salt of the Earth was playing in our absence. Because I was going down there with somebody who had a little bit of knowledge of Spanish, and he had also lived in the Philippines when he was in the Peace Corps, we're talking about Mark over here, he would get the two confused. But he's still way ahead of the game on me with the Spanish. So I just kind of didn't bother to really learn anything, you know, other than like, you know, gracias or por favor. I said that a lot, you know, please, please, help me. So I would like move around with him, knowing that if I didn't know something, he would probably be able to get to the interpretation of it for me. But it didn't really work that way. Like, I would go in someplace, and if I picked up a tag and it had the number 16 on it, I thought it was going to be 20 pesos. But it turned out one of the ones was rubbed off of it, and it was really 116. But I didn't know that. So I walk up with my 20 pesos, and the woman says, ciento de sisas. No, ciento de sises. Ciento de sises. Now, you guys probably took Spanish, so you knew what that meant, okay? I was one of those people that in high school they talked into taking Latin. You know, with all the Romans roaming around here, it's come in really handy. I was able to like immerse myself in Latin. Willie, I now know what that was about. Nobody was signing up for Latin, and they kept telling us that was very important that you take Latin instead of Spanish. So anyway, the woman would say to me, ciento dieciséis, and I'd go, uno momento, por favor. And I'd run off to find Mark and bring him, and he would say it to her, ciento dieciséis. And he would turn to me and say, ciento dieciséis. And I would look at him. That didn't really help me. So I knew, I now understand, like, it's so important that I learn what is being said to me. I need to learn the language of where I'm living, what's going on. It's just so important. Because if he was in cahoots with her, he could just say it means 160. Or if he doesn't interpret things well, I could be paying a lot more for something. So in our own lives, how do we know what's going on? How do we know the language of love? How do we know the language of spirit? How do we know the language of the responses that we seem to be getting back when we make certain choices in our lives? And for most of us, and I'm not going to say unfortunately even, because I think this is really part of the purpose of what's going on here. Most of us were given an interpretation, and it was called religion. It's like, here's what's going on for you, okay? You were born with original sin or whatever. You know, if you're not baptized, you're going to go down instead of up, you know, and things like that. You know, people were telling you. And if something happened to you, it was a lot of times, well, you're living your life wrong, you know, or God only gives you what you can handle. He won't give you more than you can handle. So you should be able to handle this pain. You should be able to handle this. You should be able to handle that. And then as we move into the spiritual realm and we talk about metaphysical or new thought, We have people interpreting it the same way. Well, God, you know, you're being punished because you're making bad choices. And so this is your punishment, whatever is going on in your life. And that's why people walk around saying, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? And then they look for somebody else for an interpretation or a translation of what's going on. And that's going to be whatever that person's perspective is, however they're interpreting the situation based on their history. But I think it's so important for us to learn the language of our lives, to learn the language of spirit, to be able to have an intimate conversation, and to be able to get the guidance if nobody else is around. So in order to get that guidance, in order to have any type of communication, we've talked about this before, the most important thing is to start the conversation, to start a relationship, to say, if you're here, show me. To say, this is what's going on in my life. Could you help me with this? And please be very, very clear on the answer. Say it in a very definite, loud voice, in a language I understand, so that I can see what's really going on. Because what I've been taught, just like learning the language of in the Philippines and learning Spanish, you can get the two translations mixed up. So a lot of us, because we were taught the language of religion, can get it very confused with the other language that's going on in our lives, which is love. One was very much fear-based, and the other one is based in love. So you'll notice yourself, it's like, well, when I look at it this way, I feel this. But when I look at it this way, I feel this. When I look at it this way, my vibration seems to go down. When I look at it this way, my vibration goes up. Now, when we talk about vibration, we're actually talking about the energy that we're feeling in our bodies. And if you say, well, what is this thing called energy? That sounds a little airy-fairy. I know you guys probably walk around talking about energy and vibration, and people think you're nuts that are not part of this little group here, okay? But if you've ever walked into a room where people have been fighting and yelling, and now they know you're walking in the room and they stop fighting and yelling, okay? But you didn't hear any of the fighting and yelling. You can feel it in the room though, right? Okay, because you just walked into an energy field that's been created. And good luck trying to change that with a joke. You know, you'd be like a comedian who just falls flat on that situation, because there's no joking going on there. Okay, so learning it, and I love what Rumi says, it's like all your feelings are good and you're being turned from an energy to an energy, a feeling to a feeling. And you're learning balance there, and you're learning through contrast what raises your vibration or gives you more energy and makes you feel at peace, and which ones are making you feel fearful or guilty and in discord. Okay, so you start to pay attention to your feeling, something that's actually built right inside of you that at first you feel like you have no control over. And slowly you begin to understand that you do. This perspective, this story, this interpretation makes me feel at peace. And this one over here, same, looking at the same picture here, this interpretation of it makes me feel bad about myself. This one makes me feel good and as if everything's unfolding perfectly. This one makes me feel bad and fearful of what's going to happen next. And so you pay attention to the feelings and you understand the feeling seems to be attached to my story. What story am I living in? We often go looking for a translator somewhere else when actually we have a translator within us. We have an inner teacher within us that if we talk to the teacher and say, I need an interpretation, if you could explain to me what's going on in my life, and then if we could be quiet, if we could say, I know and trust that you're my friend and that you'll give me what I need, you'll tell me what needs to be said, what I need to be told, you'll show it to me, and then you allow it to come in. And I found in my own life that journaling really helped with that, to figure that out. And so that's what that one journal is like, the response that I got. And that's just that your feelings talk to me. So even if you're not, you don't think you're in a conversation, you're in a conversation. You're in a conversation with pure creative energy. I feel bad about myself. I don't like the way I look. I'll never be good enough. If this is what we're walking around with, we begin to create experiences where others mirror that back to us. And then our feelings are hurt. And we go down lower and lower. But when we ask for guidance, we never get guidance back that says, yeah, they're big jerks. They're really mean people. Instead, we get, after a certain time when we're really ready to be reflective and receive the answer, do you feel that you're good enough? Do you love yourself? Why don't you love yourself? What stories are you holding on to? What stories are you taking in right now that are making you feel less than? Well, they don't appreciate me. Do you need something for them or from them in order to feel good about yourself? Do you need them to affirm to you that you're good? Why do you need that? That's the conversation that's going on. To get down to the why do you feel that you need this from somebody else? That first quote there on the inside says, love, affection, even attention are not things that need pursuit. If they are not given freely, openly, willingly to you by another person, then stop trying to obtain them from that person. So if we ever wanted to know what does no look like when we're in a relationship or trying to be in a relationship, when it's not coming back to you, it means that is not yours. Not I need to change the other person. I need to adjust this to make them love me more. It means that's not yours, and let it go. I see so many people that are so hurt because their children are not constantly calling them every day and wanting to be around them all the time. And I will try to explain, these are grown children. You have done your job. They're supposed to leave the nest. They're supposed to thrive. You should have a new relationship now with your children. Not the old relationship with your children. What you're experiencing and what you're talking about here is not love. It's neediness. It's you needing something from them instead of understanding you have all you need within you. That is not to beat up on them. It's like if they're coming and saying, what do you think's going on with me? I'm going to say, you know, I think if you throw yourself into your own life, you'll notice that lessening. If you focus on you and expanding who you are and expressing who you are here, you won't feel that this other person needs to fill your life. This is the conversation that's going on. It's coming through our feelings so that we can take a look at what we're doing and the feeling that it's producing. So we can take a look at what we're saying to ourselves and the feeling it's producing. We are all moving from feeling as if we're a victim to what I would call empowerment. But it could just be another way of saying being a victim to self-actualizing. Feeling as if it has to come from outside of us to beginning to understand it's all coming through us and it's all within us waiting to express. That's the language of love. We pay attention to the energy in our bodies. Our energy is connected to our feelings. Our feelings are connected to our thoughts. So we just go down a level and finally get to, what am I thinking? What story am I telling myself that is not love? What story am I saying to myself? You're too old to make a difference. It's too late for you. You're not tall enough. You're not short enough. You're not intelligent enough. You're not multilingual enough. What is it? You're not a good enough parent. You're not a good enough child. Not a good enough friend. What if instead you sat in love? What if instead you sat immersing yourself over in the story that just said, you are so good. And everything that has happened has been me moving you from feeling to feeling so that you could learn through opposites who you really are and so you could begin to soar and fly. What if nothing bad is going on here at all? And that your learning this helps you to be more compassionate with yourself. I'm buzzing. And then more compassionate with other people who are going through similar situations. What if you're thinking that you'll never change and your life will never change is also preventing you from understanding that all things change? When you resent somebody because of something they did 20 years ago, you're saying, I just put you in a jail cell thinking you cannot possibly change. That's just who you are, and I have every right to be angry at you for the rest of my life. Now, we all know that's not good, right? And we also know who we actually walked into the jail cell, ourselves. Because to hold that resentment means we have to lower our own energy, our own vibration, to live in that story. We get the feelings that go with the story. So we have to start the conversation, be open and willing to the responses, not beat up on ourselves, stay in love and say, I'm getting it. I'm learning. I'm much further along than I ever was. This isn't something outside of me. I can go to somebody and give them permission to work with me on it to help me interpret it. But it's not something that's going to come crashing into my life. It's something that I'm going to invite in to my consciousness. The interpreter lives within us of everything that's going on in our lives. The language of love is written on us and through us. In every cell and atom of our body is the language of love. Because every time we step away from loving ourselves or loving another, we feel it in our actual bodies. Why would that be? If it is not written and coded into us, why would we feel it in our bodies when we hold somebody else in resentment? What more empowering story could I use in this situation that releases them and releases me? That's the language of love. You don't love me, I wish you the best. You love me, I love you also, but I know you may not stay with me forever, and that's okay. We learn to touch the world very lightly, remembering who we are, slowly. We are all, as we come in here, fish out of the water, not understanding the language, given a story that interpreted our lives on purpose. We are all living with a bunch of people who came in here, were given a story to interpret their lives. So how can we relate if we don't also have that same story within us? So during Valentine, everybody's talking about love, I thought today would be a great time to talk about the language of love that's going on for us all the time. There are many people yesterday who felt very sad because it was Valentine's Day, who felt very alone because it was Valentine's Day. Is that not living in a story? That there's something wrong if you don't buy into the story of today's the day everybody should be with someone. Everybody should be happy. It should all be romantic. And there's people who feel terrible during that time. The story of Christmas, people that feel terrible during that time. So this is an opportunity just today to think about, what am I saying to myself? What story is it? Do I feel more love for myself and others? How do I feel? What is the feeling pointing at? What question is it asking me? And allow myself to receive the answer. Thank you very much.